So, deep at the root of our sense of dis-ease or, not being totally settled within ourselves, is the sense of separation from others, isolation, separation, not feeling the connection, and everything that that brings. We may not even have recognized it, but somewhere in us is this longing for a sense of deep connection to what we're a part of. Now, we try to do it through ideas, sharing views, talking about our stuff with each other. And at that level, we do establish a degree of connection. But it's not the same as being totally there with somebody. There's nothing you need to say because there's no sense of separation between you. So we miss the experience of connectedness because we don't turn up sufficiently for the experience we're having. And we substitute the experience of connectedness by trying to create a sense of or idea of connection through the various ideas that we create in our mind and the actions and behavior and the things that we do. But the truth is we're all connected deeply and profoundly, and we're all at the same time involved in exactly the same experience. Process of being alive that we're utterly, utterly immersed in 24/7. Every single fiber of your body. And we can't sense it deeply enough because we're so lost in the ideas that we created in our mind. So our meditation is the process of gradually bringing to an end this sense of separation. And we do it through gradually dismantling what we call, what Sariputta called the eye maker, we call the eye making extravaganza. This extraordinary amount of energy that we have invested in creating this idea of myself and putting it out to the world that has robbed me of the vital force that I have to put into the experience itself. Now, if you think in terms of how where your energy is invested, and of course, and this varies tremendously in the same way that our makeup varies tremendously. But the more elaborate is our idea of ourself, the more energy we have to expend in our efforts to get seen the way we feel we need to be seen. The less elaborate is our idea of ourself, the more willing we are just to get on. Just to get on, do our thing, and find our satisfaction in the doing and the simple doing of it. So, over the next 2 days, you'll gradually come to understand this process by which this sense of me encroaches upon your experience. So that you can see that it's not innately or inherently there. It's something that you've added yourself and something that you can remove. Should you choose? You might not be convinced, in which case that's fine. But I'm hoping that at least you'll come to recognize the degree to which the habitual tendencies that are driven by your sense and idea of self are shrinking your capacity to be fully enriched by the experience that you're having. So that at least you might be prompted to let go the tendencies that are categorically not for your well-being. So we build it up gradually. But first, in order to be prompted that it might, some of us get a sense that, why am I like that? If I could just stop being like that. We've all got an idea of the habit patterns and traits and tendencies that we have that sort of are not serving us well. So I'm sure we've all got various ideas of what we would benefit or that we would benefit from letting certain things go. Like being intolerant, like being greedy, like being restless, like being judgmental, etc. But we might not have gone so far as to see that the whole idea of myself is in the way. And in order to get to that place, we need to start to develop a relationship with the complete experience. Now, early on, yesterday night and this morning, I just pointed very subtly through the meditation to an experience where you may not have noticed it, but momentarily the sense of you faded. And in it, something extraordinary starts to happen. You have to have the experience of what would arise when the idea of yourself faded in order to be prompted or in order to recognize that it is worth letting it go. And it's through these experiences. Now, quite often, we might have these experiences and not recognize what it is about the experience that made it feel so complete. And we seek to reconstruct it without recognizing the simple, basic ground of it. In the daily life, these peak moments, regardless of what we're doing, that feeling of completeness comes about when we become so absorbed in what we're doing that we forget ourselves briefly. Time after time after time, regardless of what it is you're doing. Now, doing something and enjoying the fact that somebody's seeing you do it and sharing that may also give you a sense of uplift. But the real wow factor is when you are so absorbed that you completely forget yourself. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's when you lose yourself to the experience that you turn up at a deeper level, and all the vexation that's with you all the rest of the time is just gone. Now, with regards to playing sport and this kind of thing where we become totally focused and we talk about it as being in the zone, where things happen that we just can't do when we are too carried away with ourselves. I used to play blues harmonica when I was younger, and I know that there was a point where I became so absorbed in and just so absorbed in the playing of it that I lost sense of myself, and it became a complete, like, ecstatic moment. And I would listen to recordings afterwards and go, I can't even begin to imagine how I played that. If I sat down and tried to think it through, I couldn't put that together. And likewise, when we're playing sport or, I don't know, doing anything that takes concentration, it's when we really lose ourselves to it that we become absorbed, that there is a quantum shift in our capacity that lifts us to a completely higher level. Now, if I ever got up on stage to play my harmonica and said, right, I'm going to play that again, I'd be all in a muddle and all in the way. And you fluff your lines because you're smothering the experience with your sense of self. And that happens time after time after time. And it happens in your meditation when you are trying too hard to concentrate or trying to make your mind stop, and it never does. And you're smothered with the sense of you trying to meditate. And then, occasionally, brief moments to start with, you actually become concentrated and you don't recognize initially what it is that made it feel so extraordinary. But if you review the experience, the one thing that is gone in that experience is the total absence of any sense of you as the doer. This word samadhi, which is the Sanskrit word that describes this state of unification. When we become so unified with our experience that there is a unification of what we call the knower, the knowing, and the known. And now there's no sense of separation. Because it was only the apparent separation of the knower from the knowing from the known, it created a feeling of separation. So this, through concentration, is one of the ways by which we approach that experience of relief from the sense of me that never otherwise goes away. And the other way is when we enter directly into the experience of awareness, which I was pointing towards in our preparatory practice of setting up our meditation, which we'll look again at later. When you are aware, your mind is empty. And there's no sense of self there. When your mind arises, you lose your awareness. The degree to which your mind arises to impinge upon the experience is the degree to which you lose awareness. But when you are fully aware, there's just the suchness of the experience itself and no sense of separation from it. And it's having this experience, or getting closer to this experience, that shows us that we don't always need to be adding to the experience to make it meaningful. We don't always need to be trying to extract something from the experience at a personal level to make it meaningful. The experience itself is inherently, innately meaningful. You just got to turn up. The fact that people have a life-changing experience while watching their breath, for goodness sake, really? Watching your breath? Concentrating on your thumb? Please. Well, what? How could it be that folk head off to a mountain and sit in a cave for 20 years to do that ridiculous thing? Because in the doing of it totally, any sense of lacking within ourselves and the experience has gone. And when that becomes a complete experience, then everything else that you should choose to turn your mind towards, if you can apply yourself totally and absorb yourself in it, becomes a complete experience. And our sense of what we need in order to satisfy ourselves has completely vanished, or it's tremendously diminished. And our satisfaction, we are much more easily satisfied. Now, if you look at the extraordinary amount of energy and resource that we have consumed, that we consume in our efforts to satisfy ourselves, we haven't yet found an experience that goes, yeah, I got it. And if we do, we then spend the rest of our lives trying to get it again and often can't. But if you could find yourself feeling completely complete and lacking nothing in a very ordinary moment, like sitting here in this room with folk you've never seen before, watching your breath, how ridiculous. Then what? Then what? When you get up off the cushion? Whole world of opportunity and possibilities right there in front of you that aren't waiting for you when you get to the top of a mountain or some remote place or some extraordinary experience that may or may not happen. Every moment becomes a possibility for that complete experience. So this is why we're meditating. We are refining our capacity to be with what is. Because that's all there is. It's not something other than you sitting here in this room with a crackle of that fire and me rabbiting on, and your aches and pains and weariness from the day of hard work. There isn't anything else. The rest of it is an illusion that you created in your mind. So there's only this. There is only this, and there'll only ever be this. And it's just a question of whether you turn up or not. 99.9% of every moment that you'll experience will be an ordinary moment. Until you turn it into an extraordinary moment by turning up. And the time you lose and the energy you hemorrhage and the life you waste chasing those moments that might occasionally come around hoping that those will be the ones. The time you spend not having it, trying, grappling, struggling to achieve it. The brief moment that you have it and the sense of loss when it's gone. Whoa. Whoa. How we consume ourselves in such pursuit. So the doorway, two things. One, learning to leave everything exactly as it is. It's just this. There's nothing lacking. And two, turning up ever more completely in that moment, which is your ability to concentrate. So when we first experience awareness and its spaciousness and its clarity and its completeness, we aren't yet able to concentrate upon it, but it moves us in some way and there's a sense of release. And that experience thereafter deepens as we are able to immerse ourselves more and completely into it through our ability to concentrate. Right effort, the effort to surmount and let go the unwholesome qualities of your mind that smother your experience. The effort to generate the wholesome qualities that allow you to enter more completely into your experience. Right effort. Right mindfulness is the skillful way of attention that allows you to be with the experience without smothering it with your sense of self. To just rest calmly within it, open to it. And right concentration is to be able to pay undistracted attention to what you are doing so that the sense of separation from what you're doing ends.